Aham.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we begin? So let me open in prayer, and then I just want to talk briefly about like what happened over the weekend, and then I want to ask if anybody has a testimony. So let me begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this time, and I thank you for these people and the saints that labor so mightily in your kingdom. Lord, we're always looking for and need your revelation on everything that that we tackle. Lord, we don't go very far without it. I'm asking for more revelation around this meeting and what you have to say, and we ask this all now in your precious Son Jesus' name. Amen. So let me just make a couple statements, and then I want to see if anybody has any testimonies. This past weekend, we were in Grand Junction for a conference, and it was phenomenal. I thought the Holy Spirit absolutely orchestrated this meeting like I've never seen before. And you know, everybody that was on this call that was part of that meeting knows what I'm talking about. But we as a team do not get together and plan who's going to do and say what. We don't do that. We do kind of the opposite. We listen to the Lord and depend mightily on the Holy Spirit as to what He wants to do. And I got to tell you, this past weekend was knit together so well with such a powerful message and theme coming through. It could have only been, you know, orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. But it was amazed. I was amazed at how it all fit together. And I'm just very thankful for that, that we have a team that works so well together and listens so well together. So anyway, you know, with that said, so let me ask anybody and everybody, are there any testimonies out there? Does somebody want to brag on the Lord for a few minutes? Tom, I think you're muted.
There we go. I just
Okay.
want to say thank you to everybody that was involved. I myself, and I know Diana along with me, we gained so much in the Lord and the Holy Spirit and friendship and everything we did and every place we stayed. It was just amazing. And I can't thank you and Janet and Holly and Lori and everybody involved with the team, Kina and John and Mary and everybody. Just it was amazing, like you said, and I am so glad to be part of it. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Tom. That's nice. Thank you. Thank you. Janet, do you have a testimony?
Actually, I have to think about that.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll come back to you later. Okay. All right. So, on this message, before I begin, I want to have you guys pay attention to the stirring of the Holy Spirit that might take place inside of you as this kind of message unfolds. So stay sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is nudging you or telling you to do or whispering in your ear, because it's important to pay attention to that voice. And it's interesting because as I go through these from month to month, they all kind of hook together, and it seems like one builds on the other. So I'm going to open with a verse that kind of sets the tone, It's the Passion Translation. It's found in Psalm 27, verse 14. And it reads as follows. Here's what I've learned from it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. And so the topic for this meeting that the Lord gave me is entitled A Go the Distance. There's a second verse that kind of underscores the first verse, and that's found in Hebrews 6, verse 12 out of the Amplified. And that reads as follows. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who, through faith, by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. Now, that is a long run-on sentence with a lot of ideas packed in it. But essentially, what it says is that don't give up, don't grow disinterested, don't become spiritual sluggards, and but imitate those around you who are now inheriting the promise. And we can learn from those around us who have been down the road, fought the battle, and are experiencing inheriting the promises. So following those two verses, as I was kind of studying this, I felt like the Lord was inviting us into what I'll call a directional checkpoint in our lives. And by that, I mean time to momentarily pause from our tasks at hand and to consider our direction, our steps, and the speed or the velocity that we're going that currently defines our mission right now. So it's like wait a minute, it's timeout time, it's pause time, it's time to stop, listen to the Lord, and just check our direction. And that's not for everybody. There are some people that are clearly on a mission, clearly know what their task at hand is. They're reassured about their path, what they're doing, what they're working on. However, they probably need a cup of coffee or a cup of water along the way. So as I think about this, people that are already running their race, I am reminded of one of our dear friends who tomorrow will be running in the Boston Marathon. Monday? I thought it was tomorrow, the 18th.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. So when you run the marathon, and I'm not an expert in the marathon, but I've seen a couple of them on TV. You run 26 miles, 385 yards continuously, and you get dehydrated. So along the way, they have these hydration stations that you run by, grab a cup, throw the water in your head, stop by another one, drink the best you can while you're running. So she will be doing that. So some people who are very committed to what the Lord's telling them, clearly understanding that, are running their race rapidly. For those, I think the message is, pay attention to the hydration stations along the way. So as I studied this concept the Lord was giving to me, I had a sense that along with this, and my focus was turned to Joshua 3, and I'm going to read that, but it's really interesting how the Lord When I press in and I ask him like what he wants to talk about and where he wants to go and what's the topic, he'll give me a couple pieces, and then I start down that road, and then I pay attention to what he gives me, and I pay attention to what's happening around me, and I pay attention to like what I'm reading in the Bible that day. And so as I'm studying this, at the same time I'm kind of studying the book of Joshua. I'm in Joshua 3, and the Lord really paused me in that, because just as the Israelites were about ready to cross into the promised land across the Jordan, we are similarly poised for like a big move of God. Now, I don't know exactly what that looks like. I don't know timing, but I think we, like the Israelites, are being called to the bank of the Jordan, where I think we're being told, hey, get ready. You're going to be crossing over. You're going to be going into new territory. You're going to be doing new things, and you're going to be reclaiming the territory that I give you, just like the Lord told Joshua to tell the Israelites. So it's really pretty well explained in Joshua 3. It isn't that long. I'm going to read it. It's out of the Amplified, and I think we're in a parallel position. So Joshua 3 verse 1 begins with Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan, he and all the Israelites, and lodged there before passing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, commanding the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being borne by the Levitical priest, set out from where you are and follow it. Yet a space must be kept between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that you may be able to see the ark. Know the way you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, that is, separate yourselves for a special holy purpose, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took it up and went on before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, so they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Joshua said to the Israelites, come near, hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will surely drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. So now take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one for each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan coming down from above shall be cut off, and they shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were in the brink of the water, for the Jordan overflows its banks throughout this time of harvest, then the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in a heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down towards the sea and of the Arabah and the salt Dead Sea were wholly cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. And while all Israel passed over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. So it's interesting that the Lord kind of did the same thing again. when first when the Red Sea was parted and they crossed over on dry land, and then when they're called into the Promised Land, the water is piled up in a heap again. It's not muddy. They crossed over on dry land. And that the Lord told them that, everywhere that they would set their foot, he would give them that land. So as that charge went to the Israelites, I feel like that charge is coming to us. I feel like that charge is coming to the body of Christ. And I think in military terms, I think we're being herded into a briefing room with the Lord. And I don't know, I get most of my messages from the Lord in military terms. And so I clearly heard you're going into a briefing room. In the military sense, a briefing room is where everybody who's going to go to battle, they sit and they listen to the battlefield be explained, the plan of attack, like who's doing what. And this is where they get their final instructions before they go into battle. So I feel like we're being called into a briefing room right now. Now, lest we forget, we are really called to do two things in the kingdom. We are called to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus stated that in Matthew 22, verses 35 to 39. Then one of them, a religious scholar, posed this question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that was in you. This is the great and supreme commandment, and the second is like it in importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Now, let me stop right there. While those are two high objectives that we should all be cognizant about and clearly uphold as a high value, the world tends to whisper in our ear. And the world gives us a different message, which is it turns us, instead of outward, it turns us inward, and it makes us question the faithfulness of the Lord. So those messages go something like this. That's not fair. You were cheated. If the Lord really loved you, he would do this instead of this. Or it could even come in a form of logic. Well, I stood on the word of the Lord and nothing happened. So those are all invitations to take kind of a worldly path. And in fact, in military terms, that would be described as leaving the base and going AWOL. AWOL is away without official leave. And it's and people in the military actually do it. They're on base and they go, I don't want to be in the military anymore, and they walk off the base. And well, if they catch you, that's a sure court martial. So when we, and I'm guilty of this as much as anybody, when we slow down and we listen to the whisper of the world and we start to consider it, we kind of become kind of like that military guy that temporarily walks off the base. And every now and then we need somebody in our life to kind of slap us back into reality and go, don't think that, don't do that, don't go there. And I that's happened to me, and so I'm not pretending it hasn't. It has, and it's been a good thing when somebody reminded me of what my mission was. Speaking of missions and speaking still in military terms, my uncle was a captain on a B-24 Liberator in World War II. He flew repeated missions, from the UK into Germany, bombing missions. At that time, the B-24 Liberator was one of two major bombers in the air, the B-24 and the B-17. The B-24 was rushed into production, and it was filled with flaws, and it was called the flying coffin because it couldn't fly very high. It had some defects, and it was very susceptible to German anti-aircraft fire. But my uncle, in spite of all that, repeatedly climbed back in the cockpit, flew mission after mission over Germany, lived to tell about it all, but it was never about him. It was always about the mission at hand, and he didn't see it any other way. So, kind of, we have to kind of be as disciplined as people are in the military with our mission that the Lord gives us, because it's not about us. It's about expansion in the kingdom. So I think we're getting called back into the briefing room for the instructions that are ahead. And one verse that comes to mind for following the Lord is found in Psalm 25. It's out of the Passion Translation, and it's verse 4 and 5. Lord, direct me throughout my journey so I can experience your plans for my life. Reveal the life paths that are pleasing to you. Escort me along the way. Take me by the hand and teach me. For you are the God of my increasing salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours. And what the Lord calls us into, he resources us. He physically equips us with all that we need along the way. And so this is like a subtle little thing that I think is important, and I just want to talk about it for a minute. When we believe that the Lord will bless us and take care of us, he will, but we should not be disappointed when the red Ferrari we've been hoping for doesn't show up in our driveway. So I think there's a proper perspective, and I know that when we ardently pursue the kingdom and what the Lord is asking us to do, it's almost like he now assigns resources, wisdom, avenues, contacts, connections to come alongside of us. And it's like we don't go looking for it. It kind of just like shows up. And so verses 12 to 14 in that same Psalm 25 says it very clearly. Who are they that live in the holy fear of God? You will show them the right path to take. Then prosperity and favor will be their portion, and their descendants will inherit all that is good. There's a private place reserved for the lovers of God, where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. Now, I want to go back to a part in this verse, which is a little unique. Then prosperity and favor will be their portion, and their descendants will inherit all that is good. Now, think about this. This speaks to the level of prosperity and favor that is going to flow to the individual who fears the Lord and follows his ways. It's going to be at such a level that it spills out of that person and into the descendants as an inheritance. And their descendants will inherit all that is good. There's a private place reserved for the lovers of God, where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. I know from my perspective, I cannot go forward and accomplish what the Lord wants me to do without a fresh measure of revelation every day. I need to hear from the Lord. I need to hear about my path. I need to hear revelation for solving problems. And when I kind of retreat from that and depend upon myself, I don't go very far. And I get frustrated in the process. And I love the Lord's answers. I love where the Lord leads us, and I love the revelation that flows. So I make a point to like ask for it every day because I need it. I'm woefully empty without it. And part of my prayer each day is kind of found in Psalm 19, verse 173, out of the Passion. And it reads, "Place your hands of strength and favor upon me, for I've made my choice to follow your ways." So this past weekend, in the conference, Lori made the statement, "The train is coming." And I truly believe the train is coming. Now, in that statement, I believe change is coming. I believe the Lord is going to introduce a big, powerful movement across the earth, and we get to be part of that. So I think it's important for us to pay attention in this briefing room as to what the Lord is telling us to do next. And, as much as I want the full battle plan, oftentimes I don't get it. I get a piece. I get the next step. And I don't sometimes, most of the time, know what the following step is, but I know what the first step is. So I take that first step that the Lord gives me, and I depend upon His word, which basically says, the Lord or man plans his makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. I depend upon the Lord to direct my steps. So I want to conclude by just saying, stick with it. Don't give up. As we face challenges along the way, that's pretty normal. Hang in there. This is a marathon, not a sprint. The Lord has a grand plan that He's invited us all into. And so I think it's really kind of summarized in this last verse, Psalm 27, verse 13, where David says, "What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living?" And that's a mighty statement. So I want to end there, and I kind of want to open it up to you guys. Is there anything in that message that the Holy Spirit was talking to you about some task or some path that the Lord would put you on?
So as you were speaking, Jim, the Lord was reminding me when you just mentioned about your descendants being blessed because of your obedience and your journey. And I was reminded of one of the most memorable days of my life. I was on a prayer call actually with Holly, and I was buried in self-pity. My life was blown up. And I'm saying this because there's some people on this call who are, they said yes to God and they're going through the death process and it's hard. And He wants to encourage you. So I told Holly on the prayer call, she said, "How you doing?" And I told her my big sob story, expecting some pity or what I thought was, I don't know what. I don't know. You can get deceived in thinking you need compassion when really you need a Holy Ghost slap. And so and so I told her how terrible it was, and I got finished, and she said, "Well, that person in your life that's causing all those problems, they didn't ask to be changed. You did." And I was like, "Oh, Dang, that is not why I thought I was on this call. And the Lord went on to tell me through her that I was in the pond of despond, the pond of self-pity, and only way out was for me to make a choice. And I did not like hearing those words because there's something very sticky and mucky and like sinking sand, like quicksand about the pond of despond and despair and pity. And so though my life was awful and horrible, and I didn't even want to go on another step. So I was struggling with suicidal ideations and everything else. And I'm being told now walk out of this. And I knew I needed to. And I was slow to walk out, and God was so sweet that I think it might have been the next day Lori landed on my front doorstep after a meeting. They'd been out in Rockford, Illinois or something, and she said, "Oh, I gotta drop something off." Yeah, she had to drop something off, but not really, probably. The Lord's funny, you know. And she said something really loud and it shook me to my core. She said, "You need to rise up, and you need to rise up in your authority and tell the devil, get out." And it scared me into straight like thinking. So a little while later, I'll never forget where I was standing when I, through my anger and everything else, said, "Fine, yes, I'll step out of this." But what got me was something Holly said on the call, and this speaks to the descendants. So, if you're in a place in your life where it's hard and you can't see a way out and you don't even really care about yourself anymore, Holly told me about Ruth. You know, the Lord was speaking about the book of Ruth and how the whole Bible story, because of Ruth's obedience when her, she followed her mother-in-law when her husband died and into the land and then ended up being blessed because of it. And it changed the whole trajectory of the history of the lineage of Jesus and in a good way. And so that day, I didn't care about myself anymore. That was the problem. I was too far gone, but I cared about my kids, you know, and I cared about the future and the legacy, right? That I would leave. And that's why people have a yes in their heart for the Lord is what legacy will they leave? And so I realized that this obedience would change the trajectory of my descendants, and I'm watching it. I'm astounded and blown away at the miracles in the lives of my children. And so I'm just saying all that to say, keep on trucking on it. It is true that when you say yes and you step out of everything to do with self, it just gets brighter and lighter and easier. So, yeah.
Kim, that is a powerful word. That's powerful, well spoken. And we all have those dips in our life. There isn't anybody that escapes that process. And hopefully over time you recognize it sooner and you fight it sooner, right? And I remember before I learned that, I could go into long periods where I was, like sad and depressed and did the pity pond thing that you were talking about. But I think we learn over time and we learn from each other and we help each other. And I know that this ministry has been powerful in conveying God's truth and how life works and how things really work. And I for one am very thankful for that truth, because I think there is a there's a I think there's a big plan coming, and I think we're all going to be invited into this. Everybody that takes heed and is serious about the Lord and serious about going after the kingdom, I think we're going to all witness some pretty remarkable stuff. So, anybody else with a thought, not necessarily a testimony, but maybe what the Holy Spirit nudged you about?
Hi, this is Deborah, and And I don't know if this is the right time or place for this question, but I'm thinking of a person I know, and they don't have children, and they might possibly be partially in that state that Kim was in. I think it's Kim that spoke. And I was just wondering if anybody had any ideas of motivation for them.
Anybody have any ideas, thoughts?
So they're depressed, is that?
Okay, so can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Here's a perspective that I pray blesses the person. You know, the person is a Christian, and they love Jesus, and they want their life to tell a good story. And there's the one way that they're in, the vein that they're in right now is a vein of punishment and misery that only gets worse. And if they make one heart decision, just one at a time, starting with, I want to live for Jesus, and I care, and I want to live, and I don't want to feel sorry for myself anymore. I don't even know how to get rid of this self-pity and this hatred and this despair of life that I'm in. But would you help me, Holy Spirit? Because I'm going to choose to believe that it only gets brighter instead of darker. There's two choices right now, darker or brighter. And darker is going to be very, very dark and bad. And it's a hard decision to ask for help, and God will answer powerfully and mightily with help. So.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, Kim. You know, the song that comes to mind when you read it out loud, it can't help but make you feel better. I think it's Psalm 78. What's the name of that song? And well, Janet's looking that up. I mean, it sometimes we just have to get ourselves off dead center. What is it?
Lessons from History.
Oh.
78.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. You know, sometimes it makes sense, and it helps to read the word out loud and let yourself hear it and kind of sink into it, because I know for a lot of people, the battle is in your mind. And this kind of challenges those things that are rolling around in your mind that are maybe going in the wrong direction, and you purposely are forced to read, understand, and listen to the word. And so, I think reading it out loud has a positive effect.
Oh, both of those are great suggestions. I was already thinking about the verse in Deuteronomy, you know, and I'm not saying she even wants to hear any of this, but I mean, you know, I set before you life and death, you know, choose life, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you mute while I talk?
Sure.
And I don't hear myself. Okay. I was just thinking in regards to that, because I have a past where I was very had a spirit of suicide. I actually do believe suicide is a tormenting spirit, and I didn't know anything about authority over it or anything like that. But what I did know is that the Lord had put certain people in my life, and one of them would tell me to write a gratitude list. And even though I couldn't see everything as clearly as maybe I would now, you know, when you begin to be grateful for even the little things that God has given you and the people he's put in your life, like you're a good friend, obviously. And those things, once you start focusing on them, kind of pulls you out of the pit, you know? And that helped, that's just something that helped me a lot when I was going through it. And eventually, you know, was able to get enough. I mean, that was really in the days where I didn't know anything about the word. I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had just gotten saved. And so I was on a major pity party. But fortunately, I did, because I was in AA, I had a sponsor who would just not allow me to go down that road. So, you know, it's kind of like you, Kim, talking to Holly and, you know, really bringing truth out. It's like, well, wait, you're the one who has to be changed, you know? So that person didn't. So it's such a good picture of that. So I don't know if that's helpful or not, but I know even today when I'm in a funk, gratitude is the attitude I need to, you know, how I need to I kind of change my thinking. And it is, you know, I mean, the word changes, just like Jim said. It's like when we read the word, you know, because the enemy comes and he pounds on us. And the more we let him, the more he pounds. It's like the more we hear him. And his voice gets louder, and the Lord's voice is kind of muffled by it. So that's why I think the word, and I'm thinking, you know, what we always say, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. I don't know if she does that, but that saved my life, honestly. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to share about that. You know what I was thinking about when you were talking, Jim? It was, you know, in this Joshua 3 in verse 16, at the end it says, you know, that the people passed over opposite Jericho. I'm sure you could do a study on that right there, what Jericho is and all of that. But in the, it's got a verse, you know, that goes with it, a companion verse, and that's Psalm 114. And I looked at Psalm 114, and it's interesting because it's a very timely verse, because as we are celebrating right now, the Passover, it is a song for Passover. And that's what Israel is doing, passing over from, and as we're saved, you know, as we're born again, as we are growing in the Lord, we're passing from one place in the Spirit to another. You know, we're passing over. And I loved what it said. I thought, this is interesting with what you were talking about, Jim, because I was thinking about, you know, right now, if you look at what's going on in everything, everything is being shaken, you know? And so in this this song for Passover, it actually said, the Red Sea's, in verse 3, the Red Sea's water saw them coming and ran away. Ran the other way. Then later the Jordan River too moved aside so they could all pass through. The land shuddered with fear. Mountains and hills shook with dread. Oh, see what happened to make you flee. And I'm thinking about what's going on right now. And you know, the mountains of our society, they're shaking right now. And things are moving right now. And I just thought it was a really interesting connection that you got Joshua 3 in this time where they're crossing over and we are crossing. I mean, we don't know where we're going. Just like they had battles to fight in the promised land, they still had to fight all the battles. But we're in a place right now that the Lord is taking us. And it was interesting is when I was in, where were we? Grand Junction. I talked to a lot of people and I noticed so many people in transition in their lives, either with jobs or moving. I mean, even here, I would say, you know, or something is happening. God is doing something where they're going from one place to another. They're moving. And I feel like, you know, even with, you know, not knowing where we're going, not knowing, you know, and nobody knew where they were going. Anybody, they didn't know where they're going job-wise. They didn't know where they're going to move. And I just have been thinking about it, but the common denominator was the trust they had in the Lord. Like, you know, I'm just taking this step because I know he's going to show me the next step. And so I was thinking about that. That's what hit me when you were talking about all of this. And I think there were some other things, but I already forgot. Okay, so that's what I wanted to say.
So I think that's interesting, Janet, because through this conversation with the Lord, I really heard very clearly directional checkpoint. So it's like, all right, we're going to come to this checkpoint. We're going to check in with the Lord. We're going to make sure that we're hearing direction, next step, kind of the whole thing. And then at the same time, then the Lord lands Joshua 3 on me. And, you know, the Israelites are getting ready to cross over. And largely, I believe we are getting ready to cross over into, I mean, they didn't know what was in front of them, right? So, and we don't know what's in front of them. But, you know, the Lord put the fear in the people in the land that they were crossing into. And like Rahab said, you know, to the spies, the people's hearts are melting because of what we've heard about the move of God. You know, so we have to understand that we serve a mighty God who goes before us. And you know what? If you like adventure, I think we're headed for some pretty interesting days. And it's fun to do it as a body of Christ and as a family, because we can share in each other's victories and help each other out. And I just think we're headed for some pretty interesting days. Any other comments from anybody else? Well, if not, I'll close in prayer. And
Jim, I got something. I was trying to unmute.
Oh, okay.
But I just wanted to share what helps me. And I believe that it's an everyday thing. Just like you were saying, just like most people are saying, if I don't get in to that secret place of the Most High every morning and get what's fresh from the Lord and what I'm dealing with, I'm open hunting ground for the enemy to bug me the rest of the day. So I think that quiet place that we spend getting to know God every day, that secret place we can go in and get out of the battlefield for a moment and get charged up again. And then to have, then a lot of times I'll go into that soaking place, you know, the quiet place, the secret place, and then I don't want to come out, you know, once I get press in and God brings his presence to me, I want to stay there. But after that, as the day rolls along, you're going to get hit with fiery darts or your mind will go, you know, because the battle is in the mind.
Yeah.
So we need to have a rhema word or a verse that we can go to
Yeah.
transform and get our mind renewed so we get back on track again.
Yeah.
And I just want to share the one that works for me. It's from Philippians 4, verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything," or in other words, "don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That peace is so important to me. That has become my mainstay. I need to get that peace. And we can get there by finding a good word and fighting. We have to work the word to get out of whatever, you know, negative place the enemy's tried to put us in through a circumstance or a pain or some sort of bondage. We can defeat him every day, but we can't do it just expecting him to come up on a white horse and save us. We have to be part of that process by working the word, and then, like Janet was saying too, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. I would encourage your friend to get her prayer language, because the tongues really will help too. You can go in, and if it takes 15, 20, 30 minutes, if it takes a half an hour to get over the battle, pray in tongues over it, and God will show up, and you can tell your emotions to sit down and shut up, and you're okay. I'm okay now. That's well with my soul. I can speak to my emotions, right?
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of things that help me with my daily issues.
John, that's an excellent word. Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you.
I hope it helped.
Yeah. So no, that's fantastic. Well, what's that, hon? Yeah, anybody else with anything? Any other comments? Yeah. If not, well, we pray we'll wrap it up and we'll visit with you all next month. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, we thank you for the fact that you are the God of the universe and that your Son Jesus redeemed us, you know, from the curse. That we have a bright future, we have a bright plan, and you go before us. You go before us just the same way you went before the Israelites as they crossed the Jordan into the promised land. And Lord, I know there's a grand plan for all of us, but you want to use us. There's things that you want accomplished in this earth, and you're inviting us into that process. Lord, we thank you that you would consider us empty like clay pots to be part of that plan. But we welcome everything that you have for us, Lord. Lord, I pray that everybody on this call and in the sound of my voice would be touched by a move of God, that his goodness and mercy would become so personalized that they would overflow and they would just move mightily in the direction that the Lord has for them. Lord, we ask all this now in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, guys. Well, thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
In Jesus' name, amen.
See ya. See ya.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
Good night.
Bye.